We have been doing a series on the power of words. We're going to finish that series today. This will be the last one of six that we've done in this particular series. And we want you to enjoy the series as they're working on the radio. WQCH is helping us out here a little bit, but they'll take care of that in just a second. But if you haven't gotten or haven't been here for that series, it's been one of the most meaningful ones to me. Of all the series that we've done, this particular one seems to have touched my heart and has stuck with me more than anything that we've talked about. And what I want to talk to you today about is called overcoming negative words. Overcoming negative words in our life. Now, words are powerful. And we need to overcome negative words, and I'll explain to you more what I'm going to be talking about in just a second there. If you have your Bibles, I want you to look at Luke chapter 17, verse 1, and I'll be there shortly, semi-shortly at least. I'll be there soon. And while you're turning and finding it, I'm going to pray for us. Father, we thank you for this wonderful day. We thank you for all the great things that have happened. We thank you, Lord, for your speaking to us through your Spirit. Lord, we thank you that you're going to lay that foundation, Lord, that's going to be able to build and build and build. Father, I thank you now as I go forth to sow the seeds of your word, that it falls upon good soil. 160 and 30-fold fruit will be coming forth, Lord, fruit that remains. Father, I pray that if I go forth and say something that's not of you, Lord, it'll just fall and lay barren, never produce anything. But Father, what you have for us to hear, that it will fall into good, tender soil and bring forth a plant, Lord, that will produce fruit that remains. I ask you to help us now, anoint our hearing so that we can hear what the Spirit of God has to say to us. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Everybody says, say something. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, Amplified Bible in Proverbs says this, 18 verse 20 says, a man's self, now let's hold it just there just a second, make sure we get this. This will be the last time we look at this verse in this particular way for a while. A person's self, a man's self, a woman's self, a person's self, your spirit, your soul, and your body is all affected by this is what is what he's speaking about here. A man's self shall be filled with the fruit of his mouth. Your mouth affects your spirit, your soul, and your body. It affects your whole being. And with the consequences of his or her words, he must be satisfied. There are no options here. With the consequences that come out of our mouth, we must be satisfied, and no one is immune to this. Everybody suffers things that come out of our mouth. We eat it for good or we eat it for evil, which is what the next verse says, Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, or in the power of words. And they who indulge in it, if you have a tongue and you talk, this includes you, they that indulge in it shall eat the fruit of it. You got something to eat if you talk, for death or for life. So words are seeds, and as we go through life, we sow seeds by talking and speaking words, and these words go forth. And what we've got to learn as Christ followers, as believers, is that if we want to have a victorious, abundant life, then we've got to learn how to talk correctly. We've got to learn the power that are in our words, and that what we say creates our worlds that we live in, and we can change our worlds by changing our words. And so we go through life, but to have a victorious life and an abundant life, we've got to be able to talk right. And I'm not talking about proper grammar. I'm talking about being able to make sure that what we say is producing life for us. So today I'm approaching this from a little different angle. Over the past, we've looked at this particular study as the power of words that I say. But what about when someone says something to you? If words are powerful, if someone were to say to you a negative word, if someone was to put you down, say that you're not capable of doing a certain thing, tells you that you're stupid, tells you that you're incapable of doing this, that you're too fat or you're too skinny or you're too short or you're too tall, that you can't do this, you're too young or you're too old. If somebody says to you a negative word, is there power in those words? Will those words be fulfilled? If a child is raised in a home that's very negative and the parents constantly putting the child down, telling the child is stupid, will those words come to pass? Well, see, what I want you to see today is yes, they will. They will. Those words are powerful. But they don't have to come to pass. You have the option as being a Christ follower and being a believer in Jesus Christ to stop those words. You have the ability to cause those words to lay there dormant and produce nothing. I read an article a while back. It was about an ancient tomb that was found. The tomb was 2,300 years old. 2,300 years old. They found this old sealed tomb, and they went in, and they found seed in there. They didn't know what they were. So they took these seed and they began to plant them, and just to see what those things were. Didn't know what they were, planted them, watered them, nurtured them, and they began to grow. And it was a magnolia tree. And the thing grew into a magnolia tree and had blossoms in a few years and was producing seed of itself. Now, for 2,300 years, those seeds laid there dormant. Those seeds laid in that sealed tomb, dormant, producing nothing. And then all of a sudden, they're planted, nurtured, and they produce fruit. What I want you to hear today is it's the same way with these words that come out of people's mouths and come out of our mouths. We have the right and the ability to either receive them and believe them, allow them to be planted into our lives, and we nurture them by thinking and dwelling on those things, and then they begin to grow. Or we have the ability to allow them to stay in that sealed tomb and never produce anything in our lives. So you and I have this right, and that's what I want to talk to us today about. What are we doing with the negative words that have been spoken to us all of our lives? And I'll show you in just a second that all of our lives, it's impossible to go through life without negative things being said to you. What happened to those words? Did you allow them to grow in your life? If so, how do we get rid of them? So this is what I want to talk about today. How many of you have ever seen, say, a child whose parents told the child, "You're stupid. You'll never amount to anything. You can't do anything right." And you look at this child 30 years later, and sure enough, this child has produced nothing in life. Alcoholic, on drugs, wasted life, not working, won't work. Wasted life. Well, what happened is those words, those negative words, found a place in that child's heart. From a parent or from somebody that they loved and cared about, those words came in, they found root, they grew, and they produced exactly what those words said. And it's the same way with you and I today. In all of our lives, it's been the same way. If someone has told you that, somewhere along the way has told you that you can't do it, that you're incapable, you're not prepared, you're not old enough, you're not young enough, you're too old, whatever the case may be, you'll never get healed. All those things are ever said to you in a negative way. You'll never produce, or you'll never conquer, or you'll never do this and those things. And you start thinking on those things, and you begin to fail and mess up some things, and you look back in your life years later, and you start saying those things to yourself. Well, you know, they were right. I must be a failure. I must not be able to produce anything. And before long, you'll start speaking those words about your own self. But it doesn't have to be that way. You see, we have the right, the ability to take either the words and the negative things that are said to us and plant them and receive them, or to reject them. The Bible tells us that there are certain words that we should take and that we should receive. And I want you to just give you one of these. Paul told his son in the Lord, Timothy. He says this to him in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 18. "This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies that went before on thee," and notice that, "on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare." Now, Paul is telling Timothy here, I want you to take those words. I want you to allow those words to root in your heart, to root in your spirit. I want those words to be productive in your life, because you need to take those words and wage a warfare with them. You see, prophecy is so important in the life of a believer, because it's what God kind of bursts into us, a dream with those things, and points us in a direction with those things. And so what Paul is telling Timothy here is, I want you to take those words and use those words to get to your destiny, to get to where God wants you to go. You take those words and wage the warfare with them. But it's just the same with negative words. You see, people will say negative things to us as well. Discouraging things and things that we don't need to allow to get into us, that we have got to find a way to stop from taking root. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul is there telling us about spiritual warfare and the weapons of our warfare. And in verse 5, he says this, "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." You see, there are words that produce thoughts, and we cannot allow ourselves to dwell on those things. We cannot allow ourselves to think about those things. We've got to cast those things down. We've got to rebuke the one that says it, and I'll talk about it to you a second about that. But we've got to learn how to handle these negative things that come at us. I want to say this, and if you're taking notes, I just want to make sure you get this part. What you say about your own self is more powerful than what anyone else says about you. What you say and what you think about you supersedes what anyone else thinks or what anyone else says about you. It doesn't matter what they say as long as you know what God has said about you and you repeat what the Lord says. The best way to combat negative words is by saying and the things that God says about you and seeing yourself the way that God sees you. If you will say what God says about you and see yourself the way God sees you, you will have a victorious life and nothing will ever stop you. See, here's some things that God says about you. God says that you are more than conquerors. Romans 8:37 says that you can conquer conquerors. You are more than the conquerors. You can conquer anything. Nothing can stop you. As if you're in Christ Jesus and through Christ Jesus and He's in you and by His Spirit, there's nothing that can stop you in life. You're more than conquerors. You're overcomers. The Bible says in Philippians that you can do anything. Is that right? And see, you start saying this about, I can do anything in Christ Jesus. All things are possible for me. I'm a conqueror. I can do anything that I've put my mind to doing. God says you're the head and not the tail. Deuteronomy, an old covenant. And if it was good in the old covenant, we have a better covenant. Deuteronomy says that you're the head and not the tail. You're the top and not the bottom. Oh no, I'm at the top of my game. I'm at the top of the list. I'm not at the bottom. I'm the head. I'm not the tail. I'm climbing the ladder to success. I'm climbing the ladder that God has laid out there for me. I'm going forward with my life. I am not a failure. I am successful. I am an overcomer. I am healthy and I am prosperous. You start seeing yourself the way God sees you as being an overcomer, as being able to do anything. And you start seeing yourself as being prosperous and healthy. Sometimes we know we don't feel well or we're sick. Well, we got to start seeing ourselves the way God sees us and see ourselves well. In 3 John chapter 1 verse 2, it says this. Beloved, I wish above all things. What? Above how many things? Above all things. That thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. You see, you start seeing yourself the way God sees you, which is prospering and being in good health. You start seeing yourself, you start saying that about yourself, and all of a sudden those negative words are drying up and dying, and they're becoming non-productive, while what you say about yourself is becoming productive in your life. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, it says that you're an overcomer. Now, it's interesting here. Because the context of this particular verse, when it's talking about overcoming them, what this particular them is, are Antichrist. It says in there, you dear children, you're from God, and you've overcome them. Why? See, we quote that last part, because greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. But what that's really talking about is Antichrist. Listen, Antichrist can't stop you. Don't be afraid of any Antichrist. You're greater than the Antichrist. You can overcome Antichrist. Nothing can stop you. You can do anything. This is how God sees you. This is what God says about you. Nothing can stop you. The devil, the enemy can't even stop you. A little later on, 1 John chapter 2, verse 14, John says this. Because you are strong. And why? Because the Word of God lives in you and you're talking the Word of God and you're saying the Word of God. And because the Word of God is in you, you have overcome the evil one. The devil can't stop you. Nothing can stop you. How many things can you do? All things. Does he want you to prosper? Does he see you as prospering? Does he see you as successful? Yes, that's what God sees in you. That's what God says about you. And so when you start saying those things and you start seeing yourself that way, then you begin being conquerors and having a victorious life and an abundant life in Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. So your attitude must be, I don't care what anyone says about me. I am destined to win. God has a plan for my life to be victorious. And it doesn't matter. Those things might be said about me, but they're not going to have any fruit in me. You cannot control what people say about you, but you can control what effect they have on you. You can't control what people do against you, but you can control what they do to you. What those words, those things that they say, those effects that they have upon you. See, words can easily destroy the self-esteem of a person. Easily. In fact, that's how self-esteem is destroyed. By words. Some people are raised in a very negative environment. They're raised in a negative home. They're not only cursed with profanity, they're cursed with negativity. They're raised up in a negative environment. They're raised up in a negative home. They're told they'll never be successful. They're cursed. They're yelled at. Their self-esteem is belittled. And they go through life like that. And they go through life with a broken self-esteem and very negative people. And they start being negative about people and everything about life. And if you get around them, they'll be negative about you. Or they'll be negative about somebody. And the seed that they're producing, the words that they're saying, will fall on you. And eventually some of that will get inside of you. So another thing that we've got to learn how to do is not just see ourselves and say what God says about us and see ourselves the way God sees us. Another thing that we've got to do is we've got to avoid negative people. We've got to learn to stay away from them. Well, what if, Delbert, though, my parents are that way? Or what if my spouse is that way? Or what if my boss is that way? Or what if my preacher is that way? What do I do then? What if I can't escape? What if there's no real way of getting away from it? Well, Jesus talks about this, and this is why I wanted you to be in Luke 17, because it's so important that we know how to handle the negative things that are said about us and come against us. So Jesus is dealing with this in Luke chapter 17 and verse 1. And here he says this, and I want to slow down just a little and kind of get a little bit more of this. Then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible, but that offenses will come. Now let's hold on right there just a second. Leave that up there for a minute. What is it impossible? What is it impossible? What is it that is guaranteed to happen in life? That offenses will come. Jesus says that. You're not going to go through life without being offended. You're not going to go through life without being hurt. You're not going to go through life without being wounded. I wish to goodness I could tell you that once you became a Christian, you would never be hurt again. That no one would ever say anything bad about you again. That no one would ever hurt your feelings again. But what I want to tell you and let you understand is it'll get worse. And the reason is because the enemy wants to put an offense out there for you. Jesus says it's impossible to experience life without offenses coming. But then he goes on to say, but woe unto him or her through which the offense comes. He said it would better be that they had a millstone tied about their neck and cast into the depths of the sea than to offend one of his little ones. This is what he says. Now, what he's saying here is, listen, it's going to happen, but you don't worry about the offender. Your part's not, you let me deal with that. That's not your deal, that's my deal. What I want you to make sure that you understand, and he starts in the next verse saying, in verse 3, take heed to yourselves. In other words, you pay attention to yourself. The NIV version says, so watch yourselves. You let me deal with vengeance, you watch yourself. You let me take care of the offender, you take care of you. You watch yourself. If thy brother trespass against thee, do what? Rebuke him. Okay, you're stupid. You're not able to do this. You're not qualified to do this. Oh, yes, I am. God says through Jesus Christ, I can do all things. Well, you're too... No, I'm not. Jesus says that I'm an overcomer. The Bible says that I am the head and not the tail. And you rebuke that thing. And then if he repents, what do? You forgive him. Well, see, most folks only have one shot at me. Once they've offended me, I don't hang around them much. Because I'm just not going to set myself into a position for that stuff to get in me. But what if that's not the case? And you're living with that, or your parents are like that, or your spouse is like that, or your boss is like that. Well, then Jesus says, well, in that case, in verse 4, and if he trespasses against thee 7 times in a day. And 7 times in a day, he repents. What do? You forgive him. What the emphasis is here is don't let that get in you. What the emphasis is make sure that you take heed to yourselves, that you take care of your own heart, and that you don't allow that stuff to get inside of you. You make sure that your heart is right, that it doesn't find a way to get planted in you, that it doesn't find a way to get watered in you, and that you're able to not allow it to bring forth fruit. You make sure you forgive it no matter how many times you have to. You make sure that it doesn't get in you, and you let Him take care of the other. You understand that? Now, the thing that's interesting here is the word offense. The word offense. He says it's impossible to go through life without offense. The word offense in the Greek is skandalon. Skandalon. It's a very interesting word. What it means is a stick that trips the trap. When I was young, I used to catch rabbits on our farm. We had a lot of woods, and I would build these rabbit traps. And I would take them out into the woods close to a rabbit trail, and I would put some bait, some carrots or apples, that was the best bait, and I put it in the back of the trap, and then right in the center there was this stick trip. And it stick right down there, and as that rabbit would come into that little box, he would trip that trigger, and down would come the lid, and I had me a rabbit to sell. Now, what Jesus is trying to tell us here is that when offenses come, they're a trap. And the scandalon, the offense, triggers the trap. And if you take the bait, then you're trapped for the rest of your life unless you learn how to get out of it. Some of you are living in a scandalon trap right now. Things have been said about you when you were a child. Things have been said about you since you were an adult. And those things are trapped you. And you're not able to experience the freedom that God wants you to experience. You're not able to go on and experience your destiny and experience all the great things that God has for you because you're trapped in a scandalon. You're trapped in an offense. You can't think and go on and do the things that God wants you to do because that trap has been triggered and you're held. But what God wants to do today is set you free. What the Lord really wants to happen today, right now, is for you to get set free from that trap. He wants to let you know that He is for you and not against you, that He wants to set you free, and it doesn't matter what anyone said about you, He has a plan for your life. He has a plan for your success and for you to prosper. Psalms 1:3 says this, "And whatsoever He doeth shall prosper." So you're going to do things that are going to prosper in your life. You're going to do things that are going to be great in your life. Happy shalt thou be, Psalms 128 says. Happy God sees you. Happy you're going to be. He wants you to know that if you'll get out of your trap and if you'll start forgiving that thing and get that thing out of you and go on with your life, that you're going to be happy and that you're going to have a life that things are going to go well in. There's a trap that the enemy set for you. Now, because some of our parents only reached a certain level does not mean that that's the level that God wants you to go to. He doesn't want you to stop at a certain level. I have far exceeded the level that my parents acquired in life. And just because your parents or your grandparents only acquired life at a certain level, that does not mean that's where you want to stop. And that's not the plan that God has for you. God wants you to go on. He believes in you. He wants you to excel. He wants you to have a greater life, a superior life. And I think this is especially true in the church. I think that church folks should always be going forth conquering, that should be always going forth advancing the kingdom and advancing life. I think that every one of our lives should be greater than our parents' life. My children are going to have a greater life than I had. My grandchildren are going to have a greater life than their parents had because we believe this. And we believe that life should be an advancement all the time, going on in life and advancing life. God believes that you're going to do some extraordinary and supernatural things. That's His plan for you. God doesn't want you to be mediocre. He doesn't want you to be status quo. God wants some extraordinary things to come out of your life. And He has that plan for you. And so I encourage you today, right now, right where you're sitting, ask yourself and ask God, Lord, are there things in my life that are holding me back? Am I experiencing a scandalon trap? Are there things that are holding me back that people have said about me? Are things that people have done to me? Have I fallen into the trap of the enemy? Am I held back from acquiring and doing all that God has planned for me to do and all the supernatural things that He wants me to accomplish in life? And I want you to ask yourself that, because He wants to set you free today. The Lord wants you to know that there is freedom. If you can get out of this thing, you can go places that you never before thought of or never before even talked to God about. He has a plan for you to do the supernatural. He has a plan for you to do abundant and beyond anything that you've even asked or thought yet. He wants to set you free. John 8:36 says so. So if the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. And so I encourage you today, look at your life and tell me, and tell God. Don't tell me, you don't have to tell me, but tell God, you know, Lord, I want to be free. And this thing is holding me back. You may have been born in a negative environment in the natural. You know, maybe in your home you were raised in a negative environment where you were cursed with profanity but also cursed with negativity. You may have been yelled at and screamed at. You know, it may be real negative in how you grew up. But I want to tell you it again, you've been born again. I want to tell you, you've been born again. The Father that you have today is a Father that will encourage you and bless you. The Father that you have today owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. In fact, He says that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof and they that dwell therein. Your Father has limitless resources for you to acquire. And your big brother is Jesus Christ. Your big brother is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And your big brother is sitting on the throne. And the neatest thing about that is we are joint heirs with Him. And that means that what He has, we have. And He wants you to do not only what He did, but greater things than He did. Am I right? Am I Bible here? You see, this is the greatest. I want you to know that God thinks about you more than the sand of the sea. He says that my thoughts for you are more than the grains of sand. I want you to know that God formed you in your mother's womb. I want you to know today that your name is written in His book and that your days are all written in His book. And I want you to know that God loves you more than you can possibly imagine. He wants to take you places that you have no idea you can even go. How many of you know who Sam Walton was? I figured you probably would. Yeah. Sam Walton was the person who began Walmart. Sam Walton was born in 1923. He was a poor person on a farm, a little farm. And he had to, not only was he in a poor family, but he had to live through the Great Depression. And what Sam had to do, what his job was to do, is they had this little cow that was their family cow, and he had to milk the cow, and then he had to sell the milk. And then he sold newspapers to help support his family through the Great Depression. Well, Sam, though learning didn't come easy to him, he learned that if he applied himself and that he would not listen to people telling him that he couldn't do something, and he applied himself, that though learning didn't come easy to him, he could become an honor student. And he did. Though athletics didn't come especially easy to him, he learned that if he trained himself and he trained and he applied himself and didn't listen to people telling him that he couldn't do it, that he could become the quarterback of his high school football team. And he did. He learned that if he applied himself and got along well with people, that he could become an officer in his student body. And he did. And he graduated high school with honors. But he wanted to go to college, but there was no money for him to go to college. But would he listen to people say, Sam, there's no money for you to go to college? No, Sam worked his way through college because he was not going to listen to anybody tell him he couldn't do anything. He worked his way through college. He graduated college. He went to work for JCPenney's, came out, got a job. He went to work, graduated college, got a job at JCPenney's and was making $75 a week. He quit that job, borrowed money from his father-in-law, and bought his first department store. A little five and dime, but did some innovative things. It grew, and he sold it. He sold that first one, and he made a lot of money. But he didn't want to stop there, so he went to another city and he bought another one. And this one was called Walton Family Center. And then he went to another city and bought another one. And he went to another city and he bought another one. And he went to another city and the thing that we call Walmart today started with a poor little country boy that just would not be told he couldn't do something. And he broke the spirit of poverty over his family forever. Right today, it is the largest retailer in the whole world. I read where it employed over 600,000 employees, but Lance told me it was over 1 million employees. And listen, God wants to do that for you just as well. You just got to say, I am not going to listen to the things that tell me I can't do something, because God says I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He gives you a power that works within you, the will and the to-do of His good pleasure. And His good pleasure is that you be successful. His good pleasure is that you follow your dream. His good pleasure is that you do things that you haven't even thought of yet. You haven't even dreamed of yet. He has a plan for your life. And most of us are trapped in scandalon. Most of us are trapped and we can't see out of the box. Something happened in our youth. Something happened in our adulthood. Maybe several things. But God wants to set you free today. And He wants to show you things you haven't even thought of yet. Ephesians chapter 3 says this. Verse 20. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundant above all that we ask or think. See, above anything you've asked, God wants to do it for you. Above anything that you've yet thought, God wants to do it for you. And according to the power that works in you, there is a power of the Holy Spirit of God in you. Now what this does, and we're going to start talking about this next week, the dream. What God does is He comes into our lives and He gives us a dream. It's a power. It's a force. And it gets us out of bed. It gets us working. It gets us going. It gets us seeing things that do not seem possible. There's a power that works in you. And it's God's pleasure to do this for us. I've had some of my best friend preachers and some preachers in this region to give me scandalon. Say things like, Delbert, why are you in Lafayette? Do you think that you'll ever fulfill your potential in that little town? But you see, when you have a dream inside of you, it doesn't matter what people say. When you know that God's put a dream there and you have a vision, it doesn't matter. We were at a restaurant and a preacher in our region was there and he was asking us, he said, how long? He was talking to my wife. Said, how long have you been here? And she said, 18 years. And he looked at her and he said, why? You see, that's a scandal. Because that could cause me to start thinking, why? Should I go somewhere else? Could I do more somewhere else? But when God has put a dream in your heart, when you know that you're on track with Him and He's opened an eye up to you and you see it actually happening before, it does not matter what people say. It lays there dormant. It does not grow. I have been criticized in ways you can't imagine. I have bad things said about me you can't imagine. But I refuse to listen to those things. I refuse to talk about those things. And I refuse to let you talk to me about those things. I will not allow them to get planted in my heart. I refuse to dwell on them. I refuse to water them. I refuse to fertilize them because I have a dream. And I know what God's going to do in my life. I can do all things through. I am an overcomer. I am a conqueror. And every time the enemy comes, I just tell the enemy what God says about me. Amen. And that's what I want you to learn to do. Nothing can stop you. There's a dream in every heart here. There's a desire to go way beyond anything that you've even thought of yet. And He wants to fulfill that in your life. And He's going to if you'll just get out of the trap and begin to see yourself and say about yourself the way God sees you and the way and what God says about you. Did I say that correctly? You know what I meant if I didn't. See, I know that these are just weapons. The scandalon is just the weapon that the enemy wants to use against me. In Isaiah chapter 54, verse 17, it says this. No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. Now, usually we just stop right there, right? That's usually how we quote that scripture. No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. Well, I don't want to stop there. Let's read on just a little bit further. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. Emphasis there. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Now, It is true that if you're serving the Lord, then a lot of the weapons that the enemy plans against you aren't going to prosper. But that's not all this verse means. I want it a little bit clearer because I really want us to see something here. In the NIV version, it says it this way. No weapon forged against you will prevail, and you will refute every tongue that accuses you. Now, hold it just a second. Is it God's job to refute that tongue? Or is it your job to refute that tongue? Are you the one that condemns that tongue? Or is it God that's going to condemn that tongue? Now, talking about the person, talking about the words, talking about what they said. You see, the Lord says that it's your responsibility to take care of words that come against you. It's your responsibility every time that the enemy comes against you with negative words, it's your responsibility to take care of those things. And if you'll take care of them the way he says to take care of them, they won't prosper against you. They'll have no place in you. They won't grow in your life. They'll not produce fruit that you have to eat of later. You need to learn to refute those things and rebuke those things and not allow those things to come into your life and say back to those things, no, this is what God says about me. No, this is what the prophecy says about me. No, I'm going to wage my warfare with this prophecy. Don't allow those things to get inside of you. We're the ones. God wants to do new and unusual things in your life. He wants you to reach for the stars. He wants you to live your dream. And we're going to talk about that this coming next week. We're going to start a series on the dream. And I want to help you find your dream. And I want to encourage you to live your dream. I want to help you get beyond where you are and chasing your dream. And teaching your children to chase their dreams. He wants to do new and unusual things for you. And he doesn't need you to be small-minded. You can't be small-minded to do all that God has for you to do. Think about this. In John chapter 14 and verse 12, Jesus says this. I tell you the truth. Is he joking here? Is he telling us a trick thing? Is this a joke or a trick? Is he making this up? What does he say? I tell you the truth. This is the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do, look at this, what I've done. And not just what I've done, but even greater things. Because I go to be with the Father. Did he go to be with the Father? You see, in you is the ability to do what Jesus did and even greater things. You can't be small-minded to do that. Where are the people that refuse to be small-minded? Where are the people that really want to see the kingdom come? Where are the people that really want to get out of the bondages and the scandalons that the enemy has set for us and laid a trap for us and go on beyond that and do what God's called us to really do? How many people are in here like that today? How many want to do that? Do you want to do that? Do you want to go on with your life? And yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. So where are those people? Oh, that's what I want a church full of, don't you? I want to do some extraordinary, supernatural things. I want to do what Jesus did. Hallelujah. I want to raise some people from the dead. And I don't want to do it just spiritually, okay? I want some dead people to get out of caskets before I go on to be with the Lord. Well, he said I could, didn't he? All right. I remember David. Remember King David? Well, David, all of his life had this negative thing going on. All of his life, there was this negative thing. You remember when Samuel came to anoint the next king of Israel, and he came to Jesse's house, and he came into the house there, and he sees all these boys and these big, tall, nice-looking guys, and none of them are the one that Samuel is supposed to anoint. So he asked Jesse, David's daddy, he says, "Do you have any more boys?" And he said, "Yeah, I got this one little runny kid out there keeping a few sheep. That's all he's good for. Surely he's not a prospect." Is that what happened? But that was the prospect. That little runny kid was going to be the next king of Israel. You see, you may have parents like that. You may have had parents like that that don't understand your dream. Well, they went and got David. Samuel prophesied over him. That's how important prophecies are. Samuel prophesied over that little kid. Put a dream in his heart. David began to chase that dream. Even though his daddy said, "It won't happen. He's just good to keep a few sheep." But he went on. A little while later, we read a story about David in 17 of Samuel. And in this chapter, he comes to bring some food for his brothers who are in this thing going on with the Philistines. You remember the story? And in this field is this giant named Goliath. And this Goliath guy, this giant, is yelling back and forth. He's yelling at the people of God and chiding them and challenging them. You remember the story. And so David takes offense because this mountain is standing in front of his dream. This thing is going to stop his dream from happening. And so David says, this thing's coming down. And so he begins to talk to people. He begins to find somebody that'll go along with him and believe that he can take out this giant. Well, here comes Eliab, David's oldest brother. Let me show you what Eliab, you know, the guy that should be encouraging him, says to David. Eliab. And when Eliab, David's oldest brother, heard him speaking with the men, he burned with anger at him, burned with anger against David, and asked, Why have you come down here? And with whom did you leave those few sheep in the desert? That's what you're supposed to be doing. You're not down here to, you can't fight. You're supposed to be keeping sheep. I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. See, Eliab, your own brothers and sisters, even brothers and sisters in the Lord, do not understand your dream. And they'll put you down. They'll say, you're not capable of doing that ministry. God hasn't given you the ability to. Yes, God has given me the ability. And you've got to do what David did. David did exactly what I'm telling you to do. What David did was just find somebody else to talk to about this thing. Look at this. In 1 Samuel 17:30, David then turned away to someone else and brought up the same matter. See, David had a prophetic word on his life, and he was beginning to see himself the way that prophecy said and the way God said that he was going to be. He was beginning to see himself, and he wasn't going to let anybody stop his dream. He just got away from that negative thing, didn't let it have a place in his life, gave it no root, gave it no water, didn't dwell on it a bit, just turned and found somebody else to talk to about the same matter. Now, the person in all of Israel that had the most authority at that time was King Saul. King Saul was the man. You know, he was the king. So King Saul heard that David was out there talking about going out and fighting this giant. So this person with this authority calls David and says to David this. He says, chapter 17, verse 33 of 1 Samuel says, "You are not able to go out against this Philistine and fight with him. You are only a boy. You're too young. You're not skilled. You're not able. See, people in authority in our lives do the same thing. People in authority in our lives put us down. People that we love, people that we feel like is an authority in our life, our parents, or our pastor, or our teachers, or whatever, they don't understand our dream. And they'll put us down. They'll tell us we're not able. But you know what David did? David was beginning to see himself just like God saw him. David was beginning to see himself as king. And here's what he said to Saul. Let me read it to you so we'll save just a little bit of time. Here's what he said in 1737. "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion, the paw of the bear, will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." See, that mountain is coming down. I am going to take this mountain. This mountain is not going to stop me from experiencing my dream. This thing is coming down. And you know what happened, don't you? That mountain came down. David saw himself the way God saw him. David said about himself what God said about him. And he went out there and brought that thing down, cut its head off, and did become the king over all of Israel. See, his destiny was not to keep a few small sheep in the desert. His destiny was to sit in great places. Your destiny is not to do what you're doing today. Your destiny is to do something great for God. Your destiny is to go on with God, and you cannot allow any giant, any mountain to stop you. And you start seeing yourself the way God sees you. You start saying the things that God says about you, and you'll start changing your life, and you're going to get out of that scandal, and God's going to set you free. You got to start coming forth, rebuking and understanding that the enemy is just setting a trap out for you there for you, and a scandal on. You can't bite it. You can't take it. You got to keep your heart clear. You got to keep those things out of you because they're just going to stop your dream. And if you'll do that, if you'll start seeing yourself the way God sees you and start saying the things about yourself that God says about you, you're going to have a life that you haven't even asked about yet, or that you haven't even dreamed about.